Hey guys, Megan here. Wanted to share a little bit about an interaction that Alex and I had had and some of my thoughts around raising kids in the time of coronavirus and some of the anxieties that come up for them and how we handled them in our house. Because I know that this is a stressful time for all of us and it's sort of hard to hold the space of calm and kids are gonna hear what's going on in the world even if we don't say it directly. So first, just quickly, we did share with our boys what was going on, and we always try to be really simple and direct, and so we were like, yeah, we're not going to be leaving the house, all the stores are closed, and we're going to be staying inside a lot right now. And the boys were like, okay, and they were just excited that Mommy and Daddy were home, and so we've been doing lots of, like, playing together and fun activities and things like that. And overall, it's been a really great time. Stressful, certainly, at times. It's a little house and a lot of people. We have, for people who don't know, we have three little kids, and we have a volunteer that stays with us, Marlo, who's amazing and helps us out with a lot of some kid time and dishes. But yeah, so we were telling them about that, and like at first we were trying to sort of step outside anytime we were talking about intense world affairs, but we did start sharing more in the house. And so one of the things that happened was that Al started having kind of a meltdown over lemonade, and I had made him this really yummy warm lemonade with a little scoop of panela, which is like, it's like kind of a brown sugar, almost like molasses. It's not even fully brown sugar, but anyways, it's kind of a healthy, yummy lemonade. And we stirred it all up, and Liam stole it and started putting pancake in it and mixing it up and making pancake soup. And Al started to like lose his mind. Like, he took my lemonade. So I was like, hey, buddy, no problem. I know that's frustrating. Let me scoop it out for you. And then he was like, I want more. And so we go, hey, buddy, here's the thing. Remember how we told you that we can't go out to more stores right now? And we really want to be, thoughtful about how we're using our food. And this is still really good lemonade. And he's just flipping out. And it was so much more amplified than I think lemonade would normally be, and like some of our other interactions would be. And we talk a lot about flexibility, and we talk a lot about working together, rather than trying to do sort of like control and force. And I was like, bud, I know you see that we have a bunch of limes. It's actually limeade. We have a bunch of limes. And I know that you really want them, but you know what? Mommy and Daddy are trying to have a lot of foresight. We're trying to think ahead and make sure that we have enough food in the house because we wouldn't want to be hungry. And we ended up getting into a really deep conversation. And actually, in the middle of it, he just starts, like, he still is kind of melting down. And we do our best to, like, comfort and listen first and then do solutions. I kind of missed that part. Like, hey, I hear you, buddy. I love you. I see that you're really upset. And we just kind of validate and recognize what they're going through. I understand that you want the lemonade. I understand it's delicious. Mommy made it special for you. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't you that put this stuff in. But here's why we need to work together. So anyways, he's melting down. And then in the middle, he just pops up and he goes, Mommy, I want Little Bear. And I was like, what? And I realized that he was having such overwhelming emotions and he was trying to get out of them. He was trying to avoid them. And I went, oh man, you know what? I'm open to doing Little Bear, but I think we really need to work through this and feel this. This is a big one. I can feel it. And he just lost it. And he was so upset about it. And so I go, hey, buddy, I know you want Little Bear, but I think it's really important that we talk about our emotions because this is a pretty big meltdown over lemonade. And then I just, like, a question popped into my head. Al, are you feeling kind of scared about not having food? Are you feeling scared about the fact that we can't leave the house? And he goes, yeah. And I go, oh my gosh, buddy, no wonder. Those big feelings are about that, huh? they're not about the lemonade. And I was like, all right, well, let's talk about this. I was like, what part do you want to talk about first? And he was like, food. And I said, okay, so you're scared about food. Well, listen, did you see that mommy and daddy, we brought lots of extra food in the house, and we can still go to the main market, and we're never going to let you be hungry. We're never going to let that happen. And he's like, no. And I was like, but part of that is that we're thinking ahead, and we want to make sure that we're being thoughtful about what we're eating. We're not wasting it, because food is so precious, and we're realizing how precious and how important it is to us. And he's like, yeah. I was like, you know, I get that that's scary. And I was like, are you feeling scared about us being in the house and all these changes? And he was like, yeah. And I said, that's totally fair, and you're not alone. And sometimes mommy feels scared about that too. And so we ended up talking about it, and he immediately started calming down. And then we do what we try to do this thing called solution mode, which means after kind of processing the emotions, we do our best to come up with some ideas. How can we feel powerful? How can we feel creative? What can we do about this right now, given the situation? And so we went, hey, are you worried that there's not going to be enough limes? And he's like, yeah. And I said, you know what we can do now to think ahead? And he's like, what? I was like, why don't we plant some of the seeds for the limes? Because you know how mommy and daddy are growing food? Well, we're growing it. So we take care of Pachamama. That's the word in Spanish for, or in Quechua for Mother Earth. I said, we take care of her and she takes care of us, huh? She gives us all of our food and water and shelter. So we're gonna give back to her because she gives us all these amazing limes. So we went and we picked out one of the limes from one of the lime seeds from the limes we just used, and we planted it. And he immediately felt so much better, and he was so excited about it. And I was just really excited about that opportunity that, you know, a lot of times we don't melt down over stupid things. Usually there's something deeper, and we haven't really been taught to ask those questions or face those things. We as a society have been taught to disassociate or fight it or check out. And so to be able to go through that process with my 4.5-year-old son, Alex, was really, really cool to go, let's face this. Let's breathe together. Let's figure out what we can do about it. I hear you. It's fair to be scared. So, excuse the pause. I'm outside. I just had this thought and wanted to share it quickly. But yeah, we really want to take this opportunity to share those sort of self-awareness tools with our kids and what we can do about them and honor their big feelings. And through that process, we honor them for ourselves. Through that process, we realize, you know, what we're doing. Because I really think that kids are such an amazing reflection of where we're at. And they're just constantly teaching us. So I wanted to share that because I just saw this Facebook video that was a little girl who was just sobbing, and she was so sad, and her daddy was being really sweet and like, hey, I see you're sad. Why are you so sad? And he was really trying to get her to talk, and she wasn't talking. She wasn't talking. And she just kept saying, yeah, I'm sad. Yeah, I'm sad. And he was like, why? And then he goes, how can daddy make you happy? And I was like, well, first of all, we really try to take on for ourselves and teach our kids that we can't make other people happy. No one can make us happy. We're responsible for our emotions. Now we can support each other. We can honor those emotions. We can validate them. We don't have to minimize them for others or ourselves. But really, there are emotions, and these external things trigger those emotions that are already within us. So when he said, how can daddy make you happy? I was like, oh, okay, let's see where this goes. And then the little girl goes, well, TV and a snack. And he goes, okay. And it was really cute, and he was being really sweet. And so I just want to say there's no judgment on it. It was just kind of looking at it through the eyes of, you know, how society normally handles things, and that is to check out and watch a million Netflix shows or try to sleep through it or drink through it. Those are kind of the disassociation routes, or try to fight it. And so I remember seeing that and being like, man, we never found out why she was sad. We never found out what happened. It was just sort of like, oh, let's just put a band-aid on it and make you feel better in this moment. But those emotions are still there. And what I've learned a lot about my own trauma and just the process of healing trauma is that those emotions kind of get stored. They get stored in our body. They get stored in our subconscious. And then we get triggered and those things come out. So that what happens is something really superficial will trigger that feeling of lack or that feeling of insecurity or that feeling of not being safe. And then something like a glass of lemonade will spin it out into something humongous. And so I do my best to recognize that it's usually not the superficial thing that they're upset about. It's usually something bigger. And that after calming, but just supporting and invalidating and let them feel out their emotions, then we talk about them and then we come up with something creative to at least do our best. We're not perfect by any means. Do our best to come up with something that's empowering or creative and a solution within the power that we have to do something about it. And Alex has been checking on his limes, and it's awesome. Like, it is a question too that I think that humanity as a whole needs to ask, like, when we're feeling these insecurities around food, like, you know, where does our food come from, and how immediate and convenient maybe isn't necessarily something that's in balance with the actual natural systems, and it takes so much energy for us to get those things. So we've been doing a lot of thinking about that, and like the things that we can do right now are to plant our garden, to think ahead, you know, to be open to our children and their emotional state through this, and then to process our own emotions, you know, in our own time. Because it's a super intense time, and there are these systems that we've taken, I've talked about this before, these systems that we've really taken for granted that have gone unseen that are now staring us in the face. So what do? We come up with, we try to return to that state of balance and calm so we can think clearly, so we're not reacting from a place of fear. And then from that place, that's when the inspiration comes, and that's when the excitement comes, and that's when the empowerment comes. So I just wanted to share that because I thought it was really valid and exciting for our family to be able to deal with it. It's certainly not easy. It's not easy to try to figure out what that trigger is or what's going on in a super amplified situation when people are screaming. And, you know, there's a good part of us that just wants to make it stop. Like, stop screaming. Like, it's not that big of a deal. And we want to go to that place that's just like, it's just lemonade, fine. We don't have to have it, you know. But how do we personally as parents rise up and see it from a higher perspective, come to our own place of calm, and then be able to hold that space for our kids to be able to process what they're processing? And one of the things that I'll say is, at least for me, I really haven't trusted my instincts always as a mother. I mean, there's so much information out there of how to handle kids. We're on a bunch of like busy toddler sites, and one of the things is like all these parents are at home and they're just like, how do I occupy my children? And I really try to use the word engage, that it's really, how do I engage my kids? But also, how do I let them play and flow through the day in a way that makes sense to them, you know? And a lot of times if we invest a little bit of time for setting up an activity, they'll play for like half an hour, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour and a half, sometimes 2 minutes and just throw it away, but you know, we do our best. But then just because we invested that time and sat with them to do it and let them kind of lead it, then they turn it into something else, and then they start to play in the way that, and they go outside and they play. And not everybody has a yard, and I definitely feel grateful that we do. But even if it's a little patio or if it's near a window, get some plants inside. It just can help. But so much of our thing has been listening to all of these experts in child care, and this is the way that you do it, and here's what's right, and here's what everybody else is doing. But it's been really hard for me to kind of unwind some of those ideas and really ask myself what feels right to us in this moment. And certainly having all of that information helps you. I think of them as tools. It helps me come up with more solutions or have different perspectives in the way that I want to move forward with my kids, but I don't necessarily only rely on the advice of what's been written, what everybody else is doing, what the experts say. And this is where I really think that this is a time that we can come back to, you know, without a schedule, without the pressure, come back to our own instincts as parents. So this isn't just for moms. Eric honestly has done a lot of the parenting as I've had to work. But yeah, that we listen to our instincts and we honor, and it's sometimes from that quiet place of listening when he's screaming and I just take a few breaths for myself. We do a lot of breathing, and coming back to our body, that's when I was like, oh my gosh, this isn't about the lemonade. This is about the anxiety of not having food or not knowing what's going to happen next. Yeah, I think that's just something I wanted to share. And if you find it valuable, great. If you have any questions, certainly reach out. I'm happy to share some of the stuff and that we're going through and the challenges and the ways that we're handling them. One of the things I will also add in is something that I've learned from trauma work with myself and with others, is that when someone's in a state of trigger, meaning they're irrational, they're not thinking from their neocortex, their higher level thinking brain, they're thinking from their amygdala, their sort of animal reactive brain that puts you into survival, that it's almost impossible to rationalize and come up with solutions in that state. So to wait past the total meltdown freak out and do the comfort first. And I do that with myself if I'm having, you know, really strong emotions, like, Megan, it's okay to be here, feel this, it's fine. It's not fine, but it is what it is. Okay, how do you feel? What's going on? And I go through that process for myself. But when you're actually in a trigger state, something I found really helpful is to come back to the five senses, to come back to the body. And that means like touch, taste, smell, sight, sound. And that those things help the amygdala calm down and return us to the higher level thinking brain, the neocortex. So if that means like sometimes like Eric will turn on metal and it's just enough for them to like feel all those big ragey emotions. And then, or sometimes we'll take a huge breath and let's do three breaths. And the other thing is asking questions rather than trying to solve it right away. Hey, what's going on? Hey, how are you? How can mommy help? How can daddy help? I see you. All right. What do you need? Do you need to cry? All right. Cuddle in. That's fine. And so we go through getting out of that reactive, triggered trauma state, and we get into the calmed, balanced thinking state. So, touch, taste, smell, and like sometimes I'll like hand him a rock and be like, can you hold this for a second? And it'll be like a giant heavy rock or something, or be like, what color are my shoes? Do you see this spot on mommy's face? Like just something to shift the energy from the total spaz out, meltdown, and back to just noticing, seeing, tasting, smelling. So when we're in that super overreactive state, it's impossible to rationalize. So don't even try. Come back to, okay, how do we unwind this and bring the energy back down rather than trying to fix it right away? And the other thing is, how do we get out of the rational mind, kind of adult brain trying to fix it for the kid rather than just sort of letting them feel what they're feeling, honoring it and being there in support of it until they are calmed down. So those are some ideas to share. Take what you want, leave what you want. Certainly interact and shoot me questions. All right, now I'm done. Thank you guys for listening and hanging out with me. May you be well, may you be healthy, may you be happy, and may this be a great time of connection and healing for all of us, including our kids, including our families, because looks like we're all stuck together for a while. All right, I love you. Love from Peru. Take care.